Hosea chapter 13, we're going to start in verse 4, and F.E. Marsh wrote this. He listed some of God's blessings, and he said, an acceptance that can never be questioned. That's Ephesians 1:6. An inheritance that can never be lost, 1 Peter 1:3. A deliverance that can never be excelled, 2 Corinthians 1:10. A grace that can never be limited, 2 Corinthians 12:9. A hope that can never be disappointed, Hebrews 6:18. A bounty that can never be withdrawn, 1 Corinthians 3:21. A joy that need never be diminished, John 15:11. A nearness of God that can never be reversed, Ephesians 2:13. A peace that can never be disturbed, John 14:27. A righteousness that can never be tarnished, 2 Corinthians 5:21. A salvation that can never be canceled, Hebrews 5:9. You know, when you list and you see this list, and that's just the beginning. That's not even all of it, but that's a list of blessings that come from God. And so when you see the blessings that come from God, it's amazing the things that God does for us. Well, let's keep that in mind and look. Hosea 13, verse 4 says, but I am the Lord your God from the land of Egypt. You know no God but me, and besides me there is no Savior. He says, but I am the Lord your God. The word for Lord is the Hebrew word Jehovah, which means existing one, or the one who exists. The word for God is Elohim, which means judge or ruler. So God is the very one who exists. He is alive and well, and He's in charge. He's the ruler. Amen? Aren't you glad God's in charge and not somebody else? So that's who God is. He's identifying Himself. Let me ask you, have you forgotten God? Have you forgotten who He is? Have you forgotten what He's capable of doing? Sometimes we live our lives that way. He says here that He's from the land of Egypt. Israel, if you remember the story, it's taken us back in history when Israel was taken into bondage in Egypt. It didn't begin that way. If you go back and reread the story, of course, Egypt saved Israel. There was a drought, and there was plenty of grain in Egypt. And so as they begin to go and they begin to get grain, then they ended up moving into Egypt, and everything was great, and God had set everything up in order to save them from the drought. And then through time, different things begin to happen, change of leadership. Next thing you know, Israel is in bondage. And I think that describes you and I sometimes. God blesses us. He saves us. He walks after us. And through time and circumstances and a change here and a change there, next thing you know, we find ourselves in bondage. Well, that's who Israel was. They were helpless. They were hopeless. They were desperate. And in perfect timing, Jehovah Elohim shows up in great power. And He delivered them out from under the hand of the Egyptians, out from under the bondage. Do you remember being in bondage? Do you remember your sin, the despair that you had, the hopelessness that you felt? Can you remember back that far? Some of you don't have to remember very far at all. Might have been last night. Some of you may have to think back for a while to remember feeling that desperate feel. Hopelessness. Let me ask you, who was it that delivered you? If you've come to salvation and you're walking with God, how did you get there? Here's what it says in this very verse. You know no God but me. Jehovah Elohim is the only God that Israel had ever known. He's the only God that showed up and began walking with them. And He, in fact, pulled them out of the crowd and He established a relationship with them. And He began to establish covenants with them. And He said, you're my people. and I'll be your God. And so he laid out the rules and the regulations for that and how he would bless them if they would just follow him and love him. Isn't that what he does for us as well? And he says here at the very end of that, verse 4, besides me, there is no Savior. Except for God, or apart from God, there is no other means of salvation. A Savior, a Deliverer, someone to rescue you. And in fact, it is the very God that we're talking about that sent Jesus into the world to die upon the cross for us. To take the penalty of our sin, your sin, my sin, to take it and nail it to the cross so that through the blood of Jesus and what he accomplished on the cross, we're able to come to God and have forgiveness, receive grace, receive mercy, and have received all these blessings that we've been talking about and many more. All through what Jesus did, because he was a Savior of the world. So, do you know him? There's salvation in no one else but Jesus. And if you don't know him, then that means you're not walking in salvation. It's very important that you get all that straight. Verse 5 says, it was I who knew you in the wilderness, in the land of drought. So you remember, Israel, when they were taken out of bondage, they take off on this journey to go to the promised land, the land of milk and honey. Now, nowadays, we want to go somewhere on a long trip. We hop a plane, or some people still hop a bus or something like that, and you're there lickety-split. You could be on the other side of the world. That ain't the case. They saddled up their two mules, and they walked all the way to the promised land. And this describes their journey, that they went through the wilderness. On their way to the promised land, the journey was long, and the wilderness is describing an uninhabited place. You know, most of us go on vacation and we go to the wilderness to get away from the inhabited people or inhabited places. We want to be alone. They actually lived there all the way through this journey. Uninhabited land. But you know what? Jehovah Elohim knew them. And he walked with them. And he stayed with them. They weren't out there alone. They may have been away from other people, but God was with them. And God walked with them. And God journeyed with them. And he kept them. And he watched after them. And he had his hand upon them. Well, and it goes on to say that they were in the land of drought. Israel journeyed through a dry land. There was no water. Remember that? Jehovah Elohim knew there was no water. So what did he do? He brought water from a rock. In other words, God provided. He protected. He watched after. He maintained his children because his hand of blessing was upon them. His hand of blessing was upon them. So have you been in the uninhabited places and you felt the loneliness, the darkness? Maybe you've been in a dry land. Maybe you felt the drought, the distance from others, distance from God. As you and I walk through these places, wilderness and dry land, as we journey through them, I hope you have the blessing of God upon your life. That's the only way anybody's going to make it through, is having the blessings of God upon their lives. So he tells us this in verse 6, but when they had grazed, they became full. They were filled and their hearts was lifted up. Therefore, they forgot me. So the image here says when they had grazed is an image of livestock grazing out in the pasture. And of course, you see that a lot. But you know what? That points out two things. Us here in Texas coming out of a drought, Of course, it points out, number one, was there was something to graze. I moved some cattle into a place and it didn't look so good. Last year, there wasn't much to graze. There wasn't a lot of hope for them. But there was something to graze, number one. So God had provided rain, resource, moisture in order to have something to graze. The second thing is they had animals to do the grazing. I talked to a lady up in almost into Kansas, and she said that in their sale barns, there's hardly any cattle. Said the drought was so bad up there that people sold all their cattle, and she said now there's hardly any cattle coming to the sale because no one up there has cattle to sell. So she said their sale days are very short because of the drought. So something to graze and something to do the grazing. That is blessings of God. They survived the wilderness. They survived the dry land all because of God's blessing upon them. Notice it says they became full. They were satisfied just like cattle. The cattle go out and they graze, and when they're satisfied, then they'll lay down somewhere or under the shade and chew their cud. They're not in any hurry. They're just satisfied. Well, they became full. They were satisfied. And it reminds me of the wilderness journey that God actually provided them manna. And manna is a little wafer that they could eat. And every day there was manna. The day before the Sabbath, there was 2 days rations of manna to get them through the Sabbath. And for 40 plus years, they had manna cotti and manna bread and manna this and manna that. And I can tell you what, I would have been sick of manna myself. So I can understand what they're saying. They were not happy. So what did they do? They began complaining. So what did God do on their behalf? Is he brought in an eastern wind and all this quail came in. And they ate quail. Not dove, quail. I mean, he gave them something good to eat. They ate all this quail and they still were not really satisfied. In the drought, he brought water from a rock, something unheard of. But you know what that points out? God continually met their needs. He continually met the needs of his people. So, can you identify with that? God continually meeting your needs? God continually blessing you? You may not deserve it. You may not expect it, but sometimes God gives it to you anyway. You know, it's almost as though taking one of your kids and you give them something and it's they didn't really earn it or deserve it. You just wanted to give it to them to let them know, hey, I'm still here to help you. I still love you. I'm still part of your life. That's kind of the way God is. They were filled, it says, and their heart was lifted up. God's people became so satisfied with God's blessings in their lives that their hearts were lifted. In other words, they became full of pride. They began to exalt themselves. And then the Bible says they forgot me. You know what? God's blessings are meant to help us, to show God's favor in our lives, to encourage us, and it had the opposite effect. Instead of people saying, oh, I belong to God, I'm highly favored, I'm blessed, instead, they begin focusing on themselves. They begin to exalt themselves. They begin to walk in pride. So what's happened here? Maybe the blessing became the focus rather than God being the focus. You can hear that on just about any network you turn the TV on, of how to receive the blessing. Forget about God. Forget about the one doing the blessing, but how do you go about getting the blessing? Well, the blessing is great. I'm thankful for whatever blessings I've had in my life, but the blessing isn't the thing. Being in relationship with God is the most important thing. So maybe the blessing became the focus and they lost sight of God. Perhaps a blessing put them in a different status where they no longer were dependent upon God. They could become self-reliant. I remember years ago, my pastor, he used this illustration. I've never forgot it, but he said this man had a very well-paying job, and he was a church member, didn't show up very often, hardly ever tithed. Anyway, he lost his job. Next thing you know, the guy's at church every time the door's open, and he's tithing every week. It wasn't much because he was without a job, but he was tithing every week. And the pastor thought, well, this guy, God's really got a hold of him. He's doing well. Well, through time, he ends up finding a new job that was a very good job, paying better than the job he had before. And all of a sudden, he stopped showing up at church just every now and then, never tithed. The pastor thought, well, this is kind of weird. You know, I don't know what's going on with this guy. Well, one day he runs into him out in town. And he begins talking to him. And he's telling him about his new job, how great it is, that he's making more than he was before. Things are great. And he said, well, I've been meaning to talk to you about that because I'm confused about something. He goes, what is it? He said, when you didn't have a job, he said, you were at church all the time and you tithed faithfully. He said, now you had this great job that God has blessed you with. You're hardly ever at church and you never tithe. He goes, I don't understand that. He goes, well, it's pretty simple. He goes, now that we have this new job with all this money, we can't afford to tithe. He said, what do you mean you can't afford to tithe? He goes, we got two new cars we got to pay for. We got this new house we added on. He goes, we can't afford to tithe any longer. Isn't that the case? Sometimes God's blessings move us to a different status, and all of a sudden we're no longer reliant upon God. We're not dependent upon God. So don't misunderstand God's blessing in your life. When God blesses you, that's great, but your main focus ought to be upon the God who is sending the blessing. Because Israel messed up in doing so. Throughout the Bible, you see people who got comfortable in walking with God and the blessings of God, and then they forgot all about the very God who loved them and saved them. So let me ask you, have you forgotten God? If you're saved, if you're walking with Him, if you've experienced His blessings, maybe you ought to spend time praising God. Maybe you ought to thank Him. And of course, when God blesses you, you ought to always draw near Him. You ought to recognize the blessings, but let that be an invitation for you to take a step closer to the Lord. Because if you think about it, it could have easily went the other way. If you come to a near death experience or a near wreck or whatever, a near tragedy, and you didn't go through that, it could have easily went on the other way. So maybe you ought to use that to draw near the Lord. Why does God bless us? Because He loves us and He wants us to love Him. He's not trying to buy your love, but He's trying to prove to you that you can trust Him. He's trying to prove to you that He is trustworthy and dependable. And no matter what happens, you can count on Him. At the age of 16, Ander Folds was already a skilled pianist, and he was experiencing a troubled year. But in the midst of that young Hungarian's personal struggle, a renowned pianist of that day came to Budapest, which is where he was at, Emil von Saar, and he was famous not only for his abilities, but he was the last surviving pupil of great Franz Liszt. So von Saar requested Folds play for him. He obliged, and he did some of the most difficult works of Bach and Beethoven and Schumann. When he had finished, von Saar walked over to him and kissed him on the forehead. And he said, my son, he said, when I was your age, I was a student of Liszt. He said, he kissed me on the forehead after my very first lesson, saying, take good care of this kiss because it came from Beethoven. And he said, I've waited for years to find somebody to pass this blessing on to. And he said, you're the one. He goes, take care of this kiss. It started with Beethoven. You know, think about the blessings of God. It started because God chose a people whom he wanted to be in relationship with. And all he was asking for was them to walk in faith, in obedience, and love. And it continues to us. You and I have the ability to walk with God in faith, obedience, and love, all because of what Jesus did on the cross. So the blessing of God is in our hands. It's our responsibility. And so hopefully you'll take that blessing and not only cherish it and love the God who has given it to you, but you'll also be willing to share it with others and tell them how they can receive the blessings of God. Remember how it was when you were lost, how it was when you were without hope, and the difficulties that you went through in life, and think about your fellow man out in the community who is in the same situation and in need of somebody telling them about Jesus. Maybe that's you, to tell them about Jesus. That's your responsibility. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we love you so much and we're so grateful that you are such a great God, that you not only provide salvation for us, but Lord, you bless us in the process. And Lord, you don't leave us abandoned or orphaned. Lord, I pray that the blessings that we've received from you would cause us to draw closer to you. Lord, I pray you'd help us to guard against self-dependence and pride and exalting ourselves. But Lord, help us to continue to remember, no matter how great the blessings, you're the one that sent them. We love you, Lord, and we want to depend on you and we want to draw near you. Any here without knowing you, Lord, that needs salvation, I pray you'd work in their lives and draw them to you today. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.